Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory to God. Let's go back to, we're going to wind up tonight, I believe, that message that was supposed to take 1 week, and we're on the fifth, I think. But, hallelujah. About eternal insecurity. Eternal insecurity. Hallelujah. If you remember this message, arose out of that question that Katrina asked a few number of weeks ago now, regarding how you tell the difference between someone who has confidence because of who they are in Christ and someone who is just arrogant. And as we've been talking over the weeks about eternal insecurity, how God has created a place of security for us. We've been looking at how insecurity and inferiority impact negatively on the lives of the majority of people. I can put a hand up and say, I know about this stuff. We've also seen that these are the symptoms of an identity problem. Insecurity, inferiority, if you struggle with these things, it's because you have an identity problem. We need to become established in our identity. We have a new identity. If anyone is in Christ, he has a brand new creation. He has a brand new identity. We've entered into heaven's witness protection program. Hallelujah. Amen. With a brand new identity. Glory to God. And everything's been provided. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we're looking at Psalm 91, and our Heavenly Father's eternal insecurity. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But who knows that, you know, we know that this old maxim, we use it for years, you know, the new is in the old contained, the old is in the new explained, or the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. And really, Psalm 91, it's in the old, and it's a prophetic declaration, but there's something in there that's concealing it, because I believe the secret place of the Most High is Jesus. The secret place of the Most High is in Jesus. When you're in Christ, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You don't have to run around looking for the secret place. You don't have to try and come before God and say, "Oh God, just show me where it is so I can enter into it." No, if you're in Christ, you're in the secret place. Hallelujah. You're in the secret place. And in verse 2 of Psalm 91, there's a declaration that we can make tonight. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. As we've said over the past few weeks, we're not just trusting in Him, we're in Him trusting. In Him trusting what? Trusting that everything's been taken care of.
That's right.
Amen. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh." Should be glad about that? Don't know how you go on with your 11 plus or your IQ test or whatever it was you did, or your A levels, O levels, or whatever kind of levels they were. Whatever they call it. They've changed the names of these things so many times. Amen. But they still have hires. Hires have stayed the same. Whether you were hires or lowers or whatever you were doing, glory to God, whether your hires came lower than you expected or hoped for, then doesn't really matter, because we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Because of this confidence that we have in Christ, the weak can actually say, we're not liars. We acknowledge in and of ourselves we are weak, but we can say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Because we're not trusting in ourselves. We're in Him trusting, not in our strength, but in His strength. We're not trusting in our wisdom. We're not know-it-alls, but we know someone who is. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean we can't glory in His presence. We better glory in His presence. Hallelujah. When I say better, I'm not saying that from the sense of where you'll get a baseball bat right in the back of your head. I'm talking about what an awesome privilege it is to be in His presence. To be able to stand, and I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, to be able to stand in His presence without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation or any of these other negative things. We can come and glory in His presence. The Bible says we can come boldly into His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no formula we have to follow anymore. We just live in His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. But of Him, and this is where I want to get to tonight, but of Him, you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. You are in the secret place of the Most High. You, because of him, you are in, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I've said this many, many times, but if we have any problems, difficulties, in our experiencing of everything that we're told he has provided for us, I believe all of these problems arise, all of these issues in our lives arise out of a failure to fully transition in our minds from the old to the new. And at best, very many people, of God's people, precious people, they straddle the two. You know, they live back and forth between the two. But that's why we need to understand the new is always there in the old. Some people, they love to go back to the old covenant and read it with an old covenant mindset. You've got no business doing that anymore.
Right.
We're not cancelling it out. It's incredibly valid. It's full of truth. It's full of powerful truth. But you need to find what's concealed in there. And you need to get revelation of what's concealed in there. If you go back and read the old covenant with an old covenant mindset, you're not going to get yourself into trouble. You'll create trouble for a lot of other people. People will see you coming and they'll take off. A rate of knots. Because you're just nothing but a condemnation giver. Somebody help me. when you come to the old covenant, you need to discover what's concealed there, what's contained there. There's much in there, but you must be able to bring it into the new, because in the new it's revealed, in the new it's explained. Hallelujah. Of him you are in Christ Jesus, in the secret place of the Most High, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, hallelujah. Isn't it awesome? We can glory in the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. We can glory in the Lord. Because we're in the Lord, we can glory. We don't have to do everything else but just glory. You'll see, people are asking for the glory. Well, create some glory. You start praising the Lord, glory shows up. God's presence manifests in the presence of his people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Does anybody believe that?
Yeah.
If you're feeling things are up, you're up against the wall, things are coming against you, begin to praise the Lord. It's the hardest thing in the world to do sometimes because your flesh is screaming, no, you just got to do it. And the minute you start to do it, something begins to turn around. You begin to change the story.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You begin to create a testimony because you're releasing something. Hallelujah. Amen. Of him, not of you, not of me, and not even of us, but of him we are in Christ Jesus. God designed this place for us, hallelujah, in his mercy, in his grace, in his unconditional love, in his unmerited favor. We did nothing to deserve this. We were hopelessly and helplessly lost. But in God's heart was a desire for us to be restored, to be reconciled. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not just you and me, but the world. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Eternal insecurity. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in the secret place of the Most High. We are secure in that place of eternal insecurity. And realize everyone who is in Christ Jesus has an equal privilege of receiving whatever the Word of God promises. And according to this scripture that we've just read, we already have wisdom. You know, some people have struggled with insecurity and inferiority because they felt they didn't have a good education and all that stuff. You don't need to worry about it anymore. You don't need to be anxious about that anymore. Because we already have wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. You know that we have access to the wisdom of heaven. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, buy an encyclopedia. If anyone lacks wisdom, go on Google or Wikipedia or something, you know. No, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Just let him ask. Because he gives liberally to everyone. Not just to some. not just to the chosen few, not just to the university graduate, not just to the revered theologian, but to everyone. Yes, he gives liberally. Hallelujah. Amen. He doesn't turn anybody away. He doesn't even knock you around for asking. He doesn't give you a hard time and call you a dunce and a clown and an idiot and a useless bit of nothing that will never be good for anything. Hallelujah. Amen. I was talking to a guy the other night, and I said, what school did you go to? And he told me what school he went to. And I said, who was your teacher? He told me he was teacher. What he said, I said, I went to school in the day. He said, when he said, if you didn't know it, they just belted you. He says, things have changed a lot since I was in school. He said, but you didn't know something, they just belted you. They thought they could belt it into you. Amen. You're glad there's some change. You're not glad for the sake of your children or your grandchildren that the things have changed. Hallelujah. According to this scripture, we already have wisdom, we already have righteousness, we already have sanctification. Now, there's one for us. Hallelujah. Everyone wants to turn sanctification into a process. Who knows everything processed bad for you? The most healthy food you will eat is the food that you get that's as close to its natural state as possible. As soon as it comes out of the ground, grab it and get it into your house and do something with it quickly. Because everything that is processed, it loses all of its goodness, it loses all of its impact, and it might make you fill up for a wee while, but it doesn't really do you a whole lot of good. The more processed a food is, the less benefit you can get from it. I mean, you turn sanctification into a process. I know this is not always popular, but hallelujah, anyhow. You turn sanctification into a process, you're going to lose all of the benefit. You're going to lose a lot of the benefit that Jesus purchased for you when he became sanctification for us. Hallelujah. We'll touch that in a little bit. I need to move on. And he also became redemption. For us. There's no room left in our lives, folks, for insecurity and inferiority. Because all that's left for us to do is glory in the Lord.
Yeah.
All that's left for us to do is to celebrate every day what he has done and to testify of his glory wherever we go. Hallelujah. Because as soon as you begin to testify of his glory, lo and behold, his glory shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. Jesus went to some pretty incredible places and the glory showed up. Why? Because he was there as a testimony to the goodness of God. He was there as a testimony to the love of God. He was there as a testimony to the mercy and the grace of God. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He could go into the darkest places and the glory of God showed up. Hallelujah. He would go into the darkest places and reveal the glory of God. Amen. Didn't always satisfy or please religion, but glory to God, it brought deliverance to a lot of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we are in him and he is in us, we have wisdom. The Greek word is sophia. It means practical wisdom, skill, insight into the true nature of things. It means the ability to rightly apply knowledge. That's why it says in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. It says we should go after wisdom. Well, what are we going to do? We'll just go after Jesus. Because he has become wisdom for us. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord. We heard it tonight. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Hallelujah. Amen. If you need an answer to a question, seek the Lord. He's got the answer. You don't ever have to feel insecure because you don't know something, because you can ask of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? Even if you never get the answer, or if you get the answer wrong, or if you apply the wrong answer, it doesn't matter, because he became wisdom for you. When it comes to marking your paper, you've got 100%, even if you get everything wrong. Every test that you experience under heaven, as a child of God, as someone who's in Christ and who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, comes back passed. Because he passed it for you. Do you ever wish that somebody would take some of these exams for you? They used to call it cheating. You know, the devil still calls it cheating.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no, listen to him, he's a liar. But does he know anyway? He knows nothing. Amen. Well, the devil's going, that's cheating! The Lord's going, shut your face. Take that. Amen. Boy, thank God. But you dreamed of someone else to take your exams for you, well, it happened.
Yes.
Well, he became wisdom for us. I don't know, but you haven't always rightly applied knowledge. I haven't always got it right. I haven't always done the right thing. I haven't always even taken hold of the wisdom that I had and applied it. But I tell you what, it doesn't matter. I will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
He's become wisdom for me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to make it through my own wisdom. I'm going to make it because He became wisdom for me. Hallelujah. Come on now. I don't need to feel insecure. I don't need to feel inferior. I listen to some of you guys' prayers. I think, oh man, I feel so inferior. Then I just rejoice in the Lord. My flesh goes, wow, I wish I could pray like that. You know what I'm talking about? Then I think, man, it doesn't matter. I'm still depressed, you understand, but I don't have to feel inferior. I don't have to be able to preach like T.D. Jakes. I wouldn't mind being able to. Hallelujah. But even he'd have... Hallelujah. But, you know, I don't have to feel inferior. I don't have to feel insecure. I don't have to try and be somebody else. I spent a lot of my time trying to be somebody else. I spent a lot of my life trying to be somebody else. Remember that old Super Ted, that old prophet that used to come to visit us now and again? He didn't look like a prophet, but he looks like a prophet. He said to me years ago, he said to me one time, he says, when are we going to see the real Donny Stewart? He said, last time I came, you had an American accent. The time before that, you were shouting like a madman. He said, when are we going to hear Donny Stewart? He said, hopefully tonight we're closer, anyway. Because you thought you had to be all of these things, because then maybe somebody would like you, and then you had to sort of, you know, sort of gauge your audience. And you'd be like, what would they like to hear? How would they like to hear it? You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's what Paul meant when he said that you became all things to all men. Certainly Jesus didn't, anyway. But the Holy Spirit, He has all of the wisdom that we will ever need. And if any of us lack wisdom in any situation, all we have to do is ask. But even if we neglect to ask, and even if we ask and receive it and don't apply it, really and truly, it doesn't matter. And I don't mean it doesn't matter from the sense of don't being lackadaisical about it. But if we get it wrong, and if we mess up, He became wisdom for us. And I'm still going to get 100%. And I'm still going to get full marks. And you could smile about it. Did anybody ever get 100% in a test or an exam? Oh, look at that, eh? Oh. Danny's like this, you know. Humility personified. Hallelujah. I don't know about it, I can't remember. I probably did. I was good at spelling. I was brilliant at spelling. Nobody cares about spelling anymore. I was absolutely fantastic at mental arithmetic. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody's impressed that you can do it in your head. They'd rather do it with a calculator.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed a calculator. A calculator on the exam. Now, that was cheating.
Yeah.
I'm really chuffed that I can do mental arithmetic. I can work things out in my head, you know. But nobody cares about that anymore. Don't care about spelling, text language, you know. I struggle with that, man. Sorry, I'm just going to write it the way it is. I'm going to even check the spelling if I have to, you know what I'm saying? Well, punctuation, wow, never saw it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that whether you can do mental arithmetic or whether you can spell or whether, or whether you put punctuation in your text. Hallelujah. I want you to hear tonight the good news is that Jesus became wisdom for us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And He didn't just become wisdom for us, but He became righteousness for us. The Greek word is something else, and it's the quality of being right. Conformity to the will of God in all respects. It's right standing with God, the ability to stand in God's presence without a sense of guilt or shame or condemnation or inferiority. You can stand in God's presence and not feel inferior to Him. He doesn't want you in His presence feeling inferior to Him. It's not about not recognizing who He is and who you are, but you don't have to feel inferior to Him. We don't have to be insecure and inferior. I mean, let that revelation drive out all of the insecurity and the inferiority. Just lift up your hands tonight and give Him glory. That you're not just trusting in Him, but you're in Him trusting that He became righteousness for you, that He gave you the right. He purchased for you the right to stand in the presence of God, a holy God. A holiness like we don't even know how to begin to imagine or to define. And He gave us the right to stand in the presence of that holy God. The holy God that the old covenant said that no one can stand in His presence and live. Come on, somebody. Let's get a grip on this. Let's get a grip on what's happened, what's taken place between the old and the new. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Chew on that for a wee minute. Mm-hmm. Let your wow come out big and strong. Hallelujah. And let all of the insecurity and the inferiority go over the wow. Wow. What's He done? I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to perform to a certain standard for Him to accept me. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. He did it. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He raised up a standard against the enemy who wants to condemn you, the enemy who wants to remind you of your failures, the enemy who wants to continually point out all the places where you're still getting it wrong, where you're still struggling. The Holy Spirit raised up a standard, His name is Jesus, and He brought us under that standard, and He, come on, somebody, and we're under the shadow of that standard, we're living in that standard. Hallelujah. Became sanctification for us. The Greek word is hagiadzo. It means to set apart. It means consecrated. It means a state of holiness. It means a manifestation of life. You and I are as holy tonight as we'll ever be. Isn't that incredible? You and I are as holy tonight as we will ever be, as far as God is concerned. As far as heaven is concerned, you and I are as holy as we will ever be. And we were as holy as we will ever be the moment we were born again. The moment we came into Christ, into the secret place of the Most High, into that place where we dwell and where we abide under the shadow of the Most High. See, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence within us. We've been singing about that tonight. And if the Holy Spirit's in you, you're holy. Because He's holy. Amen. You may not feel very holy. In fact, you may not even act very holy. But right now, tonight, you're as holy as you'll ever be. Mm-hmm. Why don't we allow that to shift the feelings of insecurity and inferiority? Why don't we allow that to blast and blow a hole through the feelings of unworthiness or not being good enough? A lot of people stumble at this notion of sanctification already being ours. And because of that, they fail to enter into the fullness of the next one. And He became redemption. It means a release secured by the payment of a ransom. Do you know that when in the old covenant, when they brought, when you brought a sacrifice to the temple, the priest would examine your sacrifice. And if it was, if it had blemishes, it was no good. You were sent home. Sorry, pal, your sacrifice is no good. Get out of here. I want to tell you that some people, because they never made the transition from the old to the new, they carry that rubbish in the church. And there's people, those priests who stand there and they examine you. And they examine your sacrifice. And if you're not doing it the way they think you should be done, or if you're not saying it the way you think it should be said, Or if they know a little bit about your past, or maybe a little bit of what happened to you yesterday, then they examine you and you say, well, you're not worthy to come in here. Go home until you get your sacrifice sorted, pal. You know what the Bible says? You know what the New Covenant says? You know what it says in the Word of God? You know what it says about us? That when we made that transition, it says, let a man examine himself.
Yeah.
For one thing. One thing only. Not examine himself and navel-gaze and see if there's any sin left in him. No. See if he's believing in Jesus or not.
Right.
See if he's in him trusting that he has become his redemption. That his sacrifice was once and for all acceptable to God. Once and for all. That he was the Lamb without blemish. The spotless Lamb who was slain. We were singing about it. I hope we were believing it when we were singing it. He became redemption for us. He secured our release by the payment of our ransom. He delivered us and set us free. That word, the Greek word for redemption is a word that describes a conqueror releasing prisoners. Jesus said, I've come with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. I've come to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Describes a conqueror releasing prisoners, a master ransoming a slave, and redemption from an alien yoke. See, we weren't created to live a life that's plagued by insecurity and inferiority. That's an alien yoke. That's an alien yoke. We've been delivered from that curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let a man examine himself. I remember when I had to go before the session. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And I remember the first time my father was a minister, so the elders were a bit uncomfortable, and he said, oh, well, if you think he's alright, he'll be alright, you know. Second time, I'd been a backslider, and I came back, and there was a bunch of us went at the same time, and they took all the others in together, and then they took me in separately before the Sanhedrin. And I don't really blame them, but that's where they were at, and that's how they were doing things. But, you know, and I was examined. And I just accepted that because that's the way it was, I thought, but there's a word here. Mm-hmm. But that's old covenant, you see, the way they're examining the sacrifice. What kind of condition is he in? You know, is this real? And blah, 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 blah. No, they weren't in any position to determine that, really and truly. That's why, you know, I don't have a problem with people taking the bread. And the wife, because the Bible says, let a man examine himself. I want to tell you, if they're eating and drinking judgment to themselves, they're not any more judged than they were before they took it. It doesn't add to their judgment or their condemnation. If they're taking it unworthily, then it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. I was so blessed years ago when we were in the town hall and this fellow used to come in. Because he was waiting for the pubs to open. He was an alcoholic. He was a relation of mine, a good, very close relation of mine. And he would just walk in and he would sit there. And then he would walk down the front and he would take some of the bread and some of the drink, you know. And go back to his seat. And I heard rumbles and people would say to me, that's terrible. And I'd say, that's not terrible. He's hungry and thirsty. He's hungry and thirsty. Oh, but you know, he's not, you know. I said, you know what? If he's not saved, he's not any less saved. He's not any more unsaved than he was after he took it before. But you see, we struggle to make this transition from the old to the new. I don't have to examine any other part of my life anymore apart from this. Am I in him trusting? Am I trusting in him and am I in him trusting? That's the place of my security. I'm in him trusting that he's dealing with stuff in my life. That if there's anything out of sight in my life, that he hasn't given me the responsibility to try and sort it. No, that as I'm in him trusting, he's dealing with it.
Yeah.
If he brings a word to me, then all I have to do is obey that word. Mm-hmm. Walk out that word and I'm walking into freedom. Hallelujah. And I have to leave it with him when it's time to deal with things. And he's going to bring it to me when it's time. Sometimes you can overload. Who knows about overload?
Yeah.
You know, those people struggle with spiritual depression tonight because of an overload. Because religion pours more and more and more stuff on them to deal with. And all they were supposed to be doing was glorying in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Do you know that sometimes, like we had this evening in worship, that the Lord deals with most of the stuff?
Yeah.
I said, the Lord deals with the stuff. The one who became for us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. I'm in Him trusting that He's going to deal with the stuff. I remember one time, I remember where it was, I was coming round the roundabout up there at Manor. I says, Lord, what about this thing in my life? When's it going to go? He said, it'll go. So I said, it'll go. It'll go. I said, when's it going to go? It'll go, he said. And he reminded me of what it was like when I was battling with smoking, when I was doing everything in my power to rid myself of that demon nicotine, basically because I was afraid of the church finding out I still smoked. I wasn't afraid of blow smoke into the Lord's face, but I was afraid of the church finding out I still smoke. So I asked him, come around the room, I said, Lord, what's going to happen? He said, it'll be the same as smoking. One day it'll be the same as smoking. Because one day I woke up to the reality on the inside of me, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you're free, you don't need to do that anymore. And I just walked into freedom, and that's the end of it. And I tell you, and I know I've given this story before, but over and over and over again, but I can... One day I'll write a book about how not to stop smoking. As a Christian. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, it'll be the same with that. But as long as you keep looking at that, and focusing on that, and trying to deal with that, how's it going for you? Not very well. I can go a little bit. Then maybe with a little bit of more willpower, I'll go a little bit further next time. But in His presence. In His presence. In His presence there's fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I've discovered over and over again that I'm weak. But I've also discovered over and over again that He's strong. And because I'm not trusting in my own feebleness, but I'm trusting in His strength, I've discovered over and over again that He is strong to deliver. That His strength is sufficient to deliver me from whatever it is that's impacting my life. And the less time I spend trying to deal with something, the quicker it's going to happen that I walk into that freedom that He's already provided, that He's already become for me, that redemption, because He paid the price, He paid the ransom. He's already made it possible for me to experience the deliverance that He's already provided. Hallelujah. I don't need to feel insecure or feel inferior to those who are maybe already, because people love to tell you, and I'm not wrong with that, they love to tell you what they don't do. You ever notice that? Sometimes being in church was like being in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you know, it was like, I used to drink a bottle a day. That was nothing. I used to have a bottle before breakfast. I had 3 bottles before the day was out. It became a big competition. And we've placed so much emphasis on our experiences with God that very often there's some people in church who feel inferior and insecure because they haven't experienced what so-and-so experienced. And that, like, you know that some of those who have been used, who have become very high profile in the charismatic church, over the last 20, 30 years and have really seen God do incredible things through their ministry. I can give you the names of 2 guys who've never fallen over and have never experienced the joy of the Lord. And yet, they have seen both of these things probably in every meeting they've ever been at. I can give you their names right there. And you know exactly who I was talking about. Now, if they were to be insecure, if they were to become insecure because they never fell over, well, they never had that experience. They're not condemning anybody else's at it. No, not at all. I've had that. I've fallen over more times than Get the thing about it. Sometimes it made a difference, sometimes we closed the door. I've experienced the joy of the Lord long before Toronto ever came along. Well, thank God for what God did through that movement, and what he's still doing. But I tell you what, I experienced the joy of the Lord years before that. And I want to tell you, it impacted my life in incredible ways, but I'm not going to bring all of these things to you and say, unless you experience this, or I'm better than you, and you need to feel inferior to me because I've had this and you've had that. Hallelujah. Some people love to jump up and down and shout and make lots of noise. And I the time of life, I thought, if you're not doing that, you're out of order. You're not free. Some of the freest people I've ever known just sat there with a goofy look on their face. Amen? Glory to God. Because we place so many things on, so much emphasis on these things, on these reactions to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're singing tonight, there's only one thing that we're responsible to do, and that's to welcome His presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Yeah, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come and to do what only you can do in my life. And not only that, not only are you welcome, but I'm expecting you to do these things. Because there's a whole lot of things that I am totally unable to do. So I thank you tonight, Father, that I am in Christ Jesus, who became for me wisdom. So when I don't have the answer, and even when I have the answer and don't apply the answer, I thank you that He became wisdom for me. That I can remain in Him, trusting. That all of the... I mean, when I heard about the education system, what they're doing, you know, you don't put an X on anybody's paper anymore. I was disgruntled about that. I thought, typical. That's just that. The modern, you know, that is a wonderful idea. Maybe it was a God thing. Because you know what Jesus did at the cross, according to Colossians? It says He wiped out all of the certificate of debt that was against us, all of the wrong answers, all of the big crosses against our work, all of the red writing and underlining. Remember that stuff? And He stuck a big star on every page. Remember the stars? Oh boy, you felt good when you got a star, didn't you? A gold star, even a silver star, a gold star. Oh, never mind, I'd be green and red, but a gold star. He stuck a gold star against every one of us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe the education system's catching up with the kingdom. You know what I'm talking about tonight? Hallelujah. I tell you, there's a lot of people saying the world's getting worse. I want to tell you, the world's getting a whole lot better. It's getting a whole lot better. You know, Joyce Meyer had always spoken about how she'd been abused as a child. But recently she revealed just some of the extent of that. How her father, her own father, had raped her over 200 times. I want to tell you, we're living in a world that's a lot better. That sort of stuff was got shoved and got hidden. And got, I tell you, we're living in a world where you'd be lucky to get away with that. You know what I'm talking about. Where some of that stuff's getting uncovered. That means that the world's getting better as far as I'm concerned. It ain't getting worse. Somebody help me. That stuff's been there from the beginning, but I tell you, somebody's standing up and saying, that's not going to happen anymore. Not on my watch. That tells me something's happening. You say, but they don't want anything to do with God. No, they probably don't want to do anything with the God you've been presenting them, but I tell you, you bring the presence of the Lord in and some of them will react a whole lot different. You let them experience the manifest presence of God. You let Jesus walk into a situation. I tell you, a whole lot of them will react a lot differently. It'll be the religious ones then that will be trying to kick them out. But the world will be grabbing hold of them with both hands. The world will be pouring oil all over them. The world will be getting down there and washing his feet with their tears and wiping them with their hair. That's what the world will be doing. That's what the sinners will be doing. That's what the people who thought they had no hope and were without God and without hope in this world and the church excluded and examined and said, you're no good, you're a reject, you get out of here. We don't need you in here. Because Jesus threw open heaven. Hallelujah. He said, come on in, everybody. Everybody, come on in. Come on in and come into the presence of God and let all of the stuff be dealt with. Hallelujah. Let all of the stuff Yeah, let's stand up together. I've had two more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be the name. Does this make any sense to anybody?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We are not trusting in Him. Yes, we are, but we're not just trusting in Him. We're in Him trusting. We live, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, where He became wisdom for us, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. There may be some things in my life that don't look very sanctified, I don't feel very sanctified, and in truth, if you want to look at it from a natural standpoint, they're not very sanctified, but it doesn't matter. I was thinking about it at the end of one tonight when we were worshipping. I was thinking about, you know, because, you know, the devil, what a cheeky rascal, he brought Psalm 91 to Jesus, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that temptation in the wilderness, let me just finish with that. He said, well, has God not said He would give His angels charge over you? If you want to bring me the word of God, I'll bring it to you. Come on, what do you think of this then? And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. What I was thinking as we were meditating, as I was meditating this, as we were worshipping tonight. I don't know about you, but I've tempted the Lord my God. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what? Because Jesus said, I will not tempt the Lord my God. He made it possible for us to do some really stupid things. To really play some really silly games. And not be judged for it. And not be excluded for it. And not to lose our salvation over it. Can somebody help me here? Because He became sanctification for us. Oh, worship God. Hallelujah. So I want to tell you, I'll confess, I have tempted the Lord my God. I'm not proud of it. I'm not happy about it, but I don't have to live in condemnation over it.
Yeah.
Well, I have done, don't get me wrong. I spent enough time in religion to know how to do condemnation. To know how to put a false face on and pretend everything was wonderful when really I felt like something that was in the bottom of a shoe. But that was never God's heart for me to ever feel that way. Because Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And we thought, well, if we do that, we're snook, our beer is all over us, it'll be finished, we'll be all done, we'll be... No. I want to tell you, there's been times when we've done it. And we thought, wow, I got away with it at that time. That's a stupid way of looking at things. You don't even have to think about, I got away with it this time. You just have to keep looking at Jesus. You just have to keep welcoming His presence. You just have to keep entering His presence, choosing to live in His presence, choosing to glory in His presence, and in that place, and no other place, the stuff gets dealt with. In that place, and no other place, I want to tell you, no other place the stuff gets dealt with. And in that place, when you truly hear from Him, when you hear from Him, say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And just respond to what He says. And if you mess up again, get back there. Get back there. Get back there and keep going back there until one day, just like the smoking and just like everything else that's ever plagued our lives, they're gone. They're gone. There's only one thing that did that, and that wasn't our strength and it wasn't our willpower and it wasn't our ability to deal with stuff on our own. It was His presence that did it. Hallelujah. Let me say amen to that. That, my friend, is why the gospel... it's called good news. Hallelujah. I will say of who? Of myself. I will say of who? Donny Stewart. I will say of who? New Wine Church. No, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Not just trusting in Him, but in Him trusting. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your precious people. I thank You, Father God, that You knew who we were. You knew what we were. You knew how insufficient we were in and of ourselves to deal with anything. Thank You, Lord, that You gave the law to show us that we couldn't keep it. You gave us a standard that we could not keep. And then You sent Your Son. You kept that standard. Who raised that standard and invited us to come into Him. Hallelujah. Who became for us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What a package that is. Thank you, Father, that deals with absolutely everything. Lord, that there's nothing left for us to do but to glory in the Lord. To breathe in your presence and to breathe out your praise. To breathe in your presence and to breathe out your praise. To receive your word and to bring forth a testimony. Hallelujah. That our God is good all the time. That our God is faithful. That our God keeps his promises. That our God truly is our Father who protects and provides for us. Send us into this week, I pray, with that testimony. Hallelujah. Help us to create an atmosphere everywhere we go where people feel safe. Where people feel safe, Lord, to be themselves. Create an atmosphere where people can be themselves so that they can discover that what they are in and of themselves can be changed. That their story can be changed. They don't have to pretend. They don't have to play a game, Lord. They don't have to put on a performance. You ever know some days out in the world when you tell people that you're a Christian, the voice changes. Because they think, ooh. I used to be really chuffed when people swore and apologised. I don't care. I used to think, wasn't that wonderful? You know, they recognise I'm a Christian. I don't care. I want to tell you, the moment I got born again, swearing just went. Just when I was a curser, I was a professional curser. I was proud of my ability to curse. I didn't just curse every second word; I cursed every second, third, and fourth word. And I felt I was really good at it. But I want to tell you, when I got born again, it went like that, instantaneously. Not everything else went that way, but that did. The other stuff I didn't, probably because I didn't realize it. It probably did go, but I kept a hold of it because I thought, you know, sanctification is a process after all. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Help us, Lord, to go into this week and present people with the truth of who you are and what you have done, what you've accomplished on their behalf. And you became, not just for us, but for them, all of us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.